And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. You are listening to 96.9 Guardian FM, and we have three people in the studio tonight. Katrina Cartwright, the NAGB's Education and Outreach Manager. We have June Colley, a practicing artist, and we have the fabulous Mr. Antonius Roberts, who was there at the beginning of the Central Bank's art program. We're here to celebrate that. We're here to encourage you to go out tomorrow night. The opening is tomorrow night. It starts at 6. It goes on till, I think, 9 o'clock. And you get to see all of the amazing artwork being made by the talented youth in our country. So it's a really nice thing to do. And if you miss tomorrow night's opening, it is up for about another month. So you can go to the Central Bank foyer there on the corner of Market Street. And you can go and enjoy the artwork there. So I wanted to talk to all three of you about the process of judging. You're all makers, actually. So June, you are a painter. Antonius, you're a painter and a sculptor and really a sort of community organizer. You're almost like a, what's that new kind of art they call it? I can't even remember because I'm too tired, but you know what I mean. Joseph Boyce, social sculpture. Social sculpture. And Katrina, you're a sculptor, mm-hmm. Which I actually hadn't realized. I guess Uli thought about that, having three different points of view. How is it as an artist to come in and judge others and bring to bear that judging? And how did you go about doing that? Did you go off quietly and like make your own scores, and or did you walk around all together? Like how did you do that?
Well, when I got there yesterday, Antonius had already been there for an hour.
I like my quiet moments.
And so he'd had his time to spend with the work, commune with the work, figure out what spoke to him. I went off and did a walk around on my own a lot faster. I didn't need an hour. And then June came and pretty much did the same thing. So I think initially we all walked through and got it and figured out what our first impressions were, what stood out the most to us. And then we had a discussion about how we would go about taking all of the work that spoke to us the most and making a collective decision, coming to a consensus about what would happen. Now, Ulrich Vogts, the curator at Central Bank, he was very clear that at the end of the day, we could make recommendations about how we wanted the prizes distributed, because it's a bit more, it's dynamic. We didn't have as many people entering in the junior category. It was more high school, so we had a little bit of wiggle room, so we were able to make decisions that didn't necessarily align with the pre-designated prizes.
You mentioned there was 3D work. Is there a dedicated sculpture prize, or is that not, or is it just a prize for the best piece? Period.
We created a 3D category.
Yeah. Well, that the 3D category has been there from the inception, but we found over the years that some years you would put it into category and then you would take it out because it's very expensive to do sculptures.
It is,
All right, and so over the years we found that we'd have like one student will compete or not. So it was great to see a few three-dimensional pieces this year, and I must say that when you consider post-Dorian, all of the participants, all of the schools, all of the teachers really should be celebrated for making the effort to at least encourage their students to get something in.
Well, it sounds like from what they were saying from the last segment that a lot of the kids were working out their feelings about Dorian, using art as a way to...
It shows. It shows. And so we were mindful of that as well when we looked at the pieces. And we were also mindful of the fact that we wanted to be as fair as we possibly could. And so, we sent Uli out of the room.
Yeah. He
told
me.
He told you.
And as they should have.
We said, Uli, okay, listen, trust us. Okay, we'll get this done. So we sent him out of the room because we didn't want to be influenced.
Right.
All right. We just wanted the work to speak to us, and we were able to have conversations about it, and we were pretty much in sync with Uli at the end of the day.
For the most part.
What about you, Jim? Something that jumped out to you the most?
Just mostly the emotions. Yeah. I just was really surprised about how sensitive everyone was to, you know, the situation. So I'm still surprised by it because, you know, I was expecting, you know, palm trees and some fishes or something. Like, mm-hmm. when I went there, I was like, you know, I was really quiet.
It's deep.
Mm-hmm. You know, so, and I know everyone noticed. I was like, oh my gosh, what's, okay, mm-hmm. I get it.
And they must have made it hard also to judge because someone who's put so much passion into such a difficult subject,
right?
You know, you probably want to give everybody a prize, right?
Right.
So. Yeah, that's not always the case. Yeah. Right. Particularly with high school kids. But I like the fact that, you know, there is a category where a prize is awarded to a particular school. Because you could see that, you know, there were a couple of schools that really, really made the effort. Mm-hmm. The teachers themselves from these various schools, the art teachers, really should be encouraged.
Yeah.
Should be celebrated.
Like a teacher's prize.
It is almost like a teacher's prize or a school prize because I'm sure the principal also, it really provides with a great opportunity to have a discussion as to whether or not there should be an arts magnet school. There should be a school that's designated, you know, this is a school where, you know, there's solid art programs, get funding for the art, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that always comes across very, very clear every year during this competition as well. And so it was for me, it was exciting to be there. And the reality is there's just more so than talent. Kids are really in need of the opportunity to express themselves. Mm-hmm. And so we get to the point where we're not really so much concerned about how well you draw or how well you paint. It's like how well you use the materials at your disposal to express yourself. And that is what stood out for me in particular during this judging of this year.
And the reality is that, and this is something when you're, I think June heard this from me many a day in class.
Was June a student of yours?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
And now we know our age.
Now you know our age, yes. But it was one of those where it's like, if the focus of your work is the is technical skill, then it needs to be tight.
Right.
Right? But if the focus, if it's more conceptual where technical skill could be secondary, then that's your approach. And this is definitely how we looked at the work yesterday. And there were some pieces that were incredible technically, but conceptually not very strong. And also, you know, certain decisions that were made that we couldn't figure out why that decision was made. It didn't fit. Or maybe it'd been better to just exclude that. And of course, this is also why it's important, like Antonis is talking about, art magnet school, where you can have kids in these spaces to have critical discussions about their work. You know, we just had a portfolio workshop at the NAGB last week for teens. We had kids there 14 and up looking to apply, to get assistance applying to school, and we were joined by Arnold Kemp, Dean of Graduate Studies at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, and he gave some of them got some really great critical feedback, but it was also quite hard for them because they'd never been in a space where somebody was asking those kinds of questions. And those were the questions we were asking ourselves about the students' works yesterday, right? The other side is that while the competition is great, it'd also be wonderful to have a conversation with those kids to talk about the work as well, and also to explain to them why we made the decisions we made. So that could be something that they can use moving forward.
That's a great idea, actually.
Maybe absolutely.
To have the kids come in for an afternoon or something.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a time when I used to visit the schools Mm-hmm. And visit teachers and the so-called top art classes, mm-hmm. and have a conversation with the mm-hmm. students, and really, as opposed to them just looking at the rules and regulations, yeah. and guidelines, mm-hmm. just looking at their work and giving them advice. Mm-hmm. All right, that takes a lot of time.
It takes a lot of time.
Yes. But again, what you've done with your program, what you continue to do with your programs, is, NAGB is now mindful of how important how the central bank competition is.
Yep.
So there is an opportunity to have workshops.
Mm-hmm. I think also
For these students,
for the students mm-hmm. to realize. And I think that's something I was just talking to the chairman of the NAGB just yesterday. We were sitting on the veranda, and I said, what I'm finding is that we need to start younger telling
absolutely
the children not just about being a practicing artist, but about all the other things that they could do
yes.
around that.
Yes.
Because we still aren't really producing arts administrators yet. Mostly everyone who goes into arts administration is actually an artist. And how do we get, and that would be a great time, like the high school show. Like
absolutely.
People that are interested in art, maybe, yeah. and maybe they don't want to be an artist, but maybe they want to be a framer or a fabricator or a writer or whatever, because there's so many things around being an artist. And really, high school's the time that we have to start, so that then when they go to college, mm-hmm. they know which are the right classes to take.
For sure.
To end up being able to go do that. You know, we just had the Smithsonian here doing cultural heritage rescue. And it's so interesting. And, you know, they want to just come down and train us to be able to, again, do what... There's so many things you could do. And this whole show is so much about the changing climate, the fact that hurricanes might become more
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
More regular, and, like, how do we take care of our cultural heritage? So that could also be, something...
It's
something
very important. You know, art is more than, you know, someone producing an artifact or an object, whether it be a painting or a sculpture, and then taking it to market and hoping that you get the best price for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to go beyond that.
Yeah.
It's important to start mm-hmm. these dialogues.
And talking to the teachers about the other options.
Right.
So that's what Katrina's work is at the NAGB. You're really the one in touch with the teachers all the time. And actually, have a workshop coming up, right, for this weekend.
Yes, yes. It's a slightly different from what we've done in the past, because we normally focus on integrated learning, art and math, art and science, art and literature.
STEAM.
STEAM. I keep on hearing people talk about STEM. I'm like, STEM is passé. STEAM.
Yeah, like STEAM. STEAM.
Please, STEAM.
STEAM. STEM happened 10 years ago. Leave it 10 years ago. So, but this teacher's seminar is called Educator Circle. And we realize that with all of the work that's being done to help children to cope post-Dorian, that educators are not necessarily getting as much support as they need. So this seminar focuses completely on mental wellness for educators. So we are bringing in elements of our Create Space workshop
mm-hmm.
that we did in September for 3 weeks with our therapist, Susan Moore McKay. She trained several of our education staff and other volunteers to utilize the arts to help people to cope, to express themselves, but just to come into a space and use the arts as an avenue to avenue to think, to
articulate.
Communicate, to articulate mm-hmm. or not articulate, wherever mm-hmm. you are. So that's a part of it. We're also working with Dr. Michelle Batten from the University of the Bahamas.
Mm.
She is going to be doing a session on what's called desensitization, where it's about how do you not just cope, but how do you learn to release. So these are tools, these are techniques that are used by professionals around the world who work with people who have experienced trauma, disaster, extreme stress. And then we have several art activities, art tools that have been shared with us that we want to share with teachers that can be used in their class to help them, help their students to cope.
Great. Because so can teachers still sign up for this, or is it already closed?
Oh, goodness. They can sign up. You know, we really don't have a cap. At this point in time, we are happy to welcome as many people as we can fit in the room, because we realize that there's such a big need for it. And we want educators to feel as if this is for you.
Okay, so this is for educators. That is this Saturday coming up from 10 till 3, correct?
From 10 till 3, yes.
Great. That's amazing. So, I mean, again, I think the work you're doing is amazing, the work you've done, Antonius. What else could you see for Central Bank in the future?
Oh my goodness.
For the arts. What else do you think?
I think the Central Bank, in collaboration with the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas and the University of the Bahamas, I foresee the Central Bank actually helping to facilitate a greater kind of cross-fertilization and collaboration between other countries within the Caribbean.
Yeah.
I think that the Central Bank can be that catalyst by which could communicate with other central banks, and we can have a biennial, we can have art fairs and art exhibitions where people from within the Caribbean or Caribbean people can actually learn more about their brothers and sisters within the region. And I would love to see that. I mean, I think the Bahamas is a perfect place for it. I think we need to now start focusing on how do we create opportunities to really to have greater dialogue and to engage as many people with voices within the Caribbean in a conversation about climate change, about STEAM, about economics, the economy, and all of these young artists that we are educating. So what happened to them after they leave school? I mean, how are they going to be employed? I mean, what future are they going to have? I mean, and we look at what's going on globally, particularly in the United States of America, all right? It's going to be even more difficult for us to migrate to other countries to look for survival. So we've got to figure out how we can have conversation about how we fix ourselves, how we create more opportunities to sustain ourselves, our people, and particularly the people of the region.
Yeah, and that's all comes back to the orange economy, right? Which is, I think, one of the central, I mean, that is something that...
That's something that I can say that, we started some time ago, the conversation.
That's true. June, what about you? Any wishes and dreams you'd like to see when you were a student that the central bank or any institution? Or do you feel like from your I don't want to say you're of a different generation, but you came up a little bit behind us. Do you feel like when you were coming up there were things you were missing? Is there anything?
Well, when I was coming up, I didn't know programs existed.
So we should promote them better.
Right. But again, I wasn't in the art part of my high schools. So maybe, hopefully, it'll be nice to see talk about art to other students that's not within the art program in the high school.
Right. Because, so to not ghettoize ourselves. And it's so true because actually right now, science and art are becoming so intersected, and for a long time in school they were completely separate, right? If you were interested in science, you wouldn't ever learn anything about art, and if you were interested in art, nobody would put you anywhere near a math class. So that's a really good, and that brings back to you, Katrina, because it caused pollinization. So there we go.
All the time. Well, you know, I have to say, I think something that probably drove June and her compatriots crazy in classes, because I'm a trained ceramicist, is that I love chemistry and physics and math, and I use all of them in my practice. And I told them once when they were trying to figure out glazes, I'm like, this is the algebraic formula, and to figure out how to get your chemical quantities right. And I think they all looked at me and their collective groan went up to the heavens.
But we cross-pollinated the math with the artist. So that's a really good place to end on, June. Thank you so much. Yes. So I want to thank all three of you for being here tonight and talking about your judging of the Central Bank High School Art Prize. I'd like to encourage the audience to go and attend the opening tomorrow night. It's from 6 o'clock at the Central Bank of the Bahamas and the opening at the bottom of the hill on Market Street. And it's a really joyous event. And if you don't get to join us tomorrow night, then come out anytime in the next month to see the artwork made by the students. So I'd like to thank Katrina Cartwright and Antonius Roberts and June Colley for being with us here tonight. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Amanda.
And I want to thank the audience for listening. You've been listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery, and you've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great night.